All right, everyone, get ready for a deep dive that might surprise you. We're going deep into YouTube strategy. But hold on, don't worry, we're not gonna be like, chasing those viral videos or anything like that. This is more about, think of it like a treasure map, okay? It's a treasure map that's gonna lead us to the secrets of building a really successful coaching business.
That's a great analogy.
And the best part is you don't have to have like a zillion followers to make it work.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the big takeaways we're going to be unpacking today. We're actually looking at this YouTube masterclass. It's all about how to make six figures or more through coaching. And get this, you can do it even with a small, dedicated audience.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And you know what else is cool? The masterclass features a surprise guest. This best-selling author, I mean, talk about a fresh perspective on why coaching is like the business model right
Yeah,
now.
I know, right? He really challenges the idea that just because information is free online, that coaching is somehow less valuable.
Yeah.
Actually, he argues that people are more and more willing to pay for that personalized guidance.
He even tells the story about a friend of his. This friend charges $350,000 a year for just 1 hour of coaching per month. I mean, that's a lot.
It's, yeah.
But he breaks down why it's justified. It's not just about the hour itself. It's about the years of experience this coach brings to the table, the tailored advice and, the really big thing, the network, the connections. I mean, that access alone is worth a premium for his clients.
It makes sense when you think about it that way. It's like you're not just paying for the information. You're paying for a transformation.
Right.
Having someone in your corner who can help you, you know, actually apply that knowledge to your specific goals and challenges.
Yeah. So this is where it gets really interesting, I think. What about you? What knowledge or skills do you have that could be turned into like a coaching program? What problems do you solve that that people might actually pay you to help them solve?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
It's the first step in building that coaching empire, right? And this masterclass walks you through it all. It's an 8-step system.
Okay, let's hear it.
So the first step is, well, it's all about creating a menu of services. So instead of just saying, I'm a coach,
yeah,
you know, you create specific packages with clear deliverables, time frames, and of course, prices.
So it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy here.
He compares it to a restaurant menu. You wouldn't just walk into a restaurant and see a sign that says, we have food. You would wonder what specific dishes they offer, right? Mm-hmm. What appeals to your taste, your budget.
Exactly.
So same thing with coaching.
Makes sense. So what's an example of like a specific coaching package?
Okay. So he uses this example of a one-day marketing strategy session. It's priced at $7,500. And it includes like a keynote deck and a workbook. Things that clients can use even after the session's over.
Oh, that's smart. It's like you're getting more than just the session itself.
Exactly. It's adding value right from the start.
Okay, so we've got our coaching packages all set. Now, how do we find those clients, the people who are actually like craving what we're offering?
Well, the key is identifying the problems your coaching solves.
Yeah.
And then you got to target the people who are dealing with those problems right now.
So it's not about trying to be everything to everyone.
Right. It's about focusing on the people who will benefit the most from your unique expertise.
It reminds me of that story about the coach who landed a really high-paying job from just one email.
Oh, yeah.
He knew exactly who to target and what to say.
That's the power of being specific.
It really is.
And that's why it's so important to make sure your outreach materials, you know, like your website or brochures or whatever, really clearly explain the value you bring. Think of it like a quick, compelling pitch.
Okay, got it. So we have our menu of services. We know who our ideal client is. Now we need a website. A website that's actually going to attract those clients.
Right.
What are some things to keep in mind?
Well, the author really stresses clarity and being concise.
Yeah.
Your website should quickly tell people what problem you solve and how you solve it.
Like straight to the point.
Yeah. He actually uses this funny example of a cooking coach to illustrate it.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Imagine a website that says, I'll teach you to cook 6 amazing dishes, your choice, using my 10 years of experience in fine dining kitchens. We'll even eat the results together.
Haha, I'm sold.
Right.
It's specific, it tells you the benefits, and I can just picture it.
Exactly. And it's not just about teaching someone to boil water, right? It's a curated experience.
Yeah.
It's a tangible outcome.
Yeah.
And it's even got that social element. It's a compelling package.
I like it. Okay, so we've got this awesome website. It's speaking directly to our dream client. What's next?
Well, the author's 4th step focuses on automating your sales process. So setting up a system of emails that basically work for you, even when you're sleeping.
Automated emails. That sounds a little impersonal, but I'm curious.
Oh, it's not about sending spam. It's about strategically building relationships and staying top of mind with potential clients. And what's really interesting is he says the exact content of the emails isn't as crucial as you might think.
Really? What matters more then?
Consistency. You see, people rarely buy the second they get an email. They buy when your solution aligns with their problem. And that could be months after they first hear from you.
Oh, that makes sense. It's like those text messages I get from Reef Sandals or Hank's Belts. I don't need new flip-flops right this second, but when summer hits, boom, they're the first brand I think of.
Exactly. Consistent communication builds trust and familiarity. So when the time is right, they choose you.
Got it. So it's less about like blasting out a ton of emails and more about just staying in touch, nurturing those relationships over time.
Right.
Okay, what's step five?
Step five is all about building a marketing funnel and creating a product ladder.
Okay, those are two terms I hear a lot, but I'm not sure I totally get them.
He explains that all relationships, not just in sales, go through these three phases: curiosity, enlightenment, and commitment. It's how we connect with anyone, friends, business partners, you name it.
So in the curiosity phase, someone becomes aware of you, what you offer. Maybe they see your YouTube video or find your website.
Right.
And then there's enlightenment. You give them valuable information, build trust, show off your expertise a little, like free content, blog posts, those kinds of things. So you're basically proving your value before asking for anything in return.
And finally, you have the commitment phase. That's where the sale happens. But it's not about being pushy. It's about aligning your offer with their needs at the right moment. And that's where the product ladder comes in.
Okay, so what is a product ladder?
Think of it like a staircase. You start with low cost or even free offerings, you know, just to build that trust, show them what you can do. Then you gradually offer higher priced products or services, things that provide deeper support, more transformation.
So like it could start with a free ebook, then maybe a paid webinar, then a group coaching program, and eventually like one-on-one coaching sessions.
Exactly. The key is to have options. Cater to different budgets and levels of commitment.
So you make your coaching accessible to more people.
Right.
You can still, you know, grow your income.
Smart, right?
It is. It lets people try before they buy, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so what's next on our treasure map?
Step six is about laying a solid foundation for your business, setting realistic goals.
Okay. Less exciting than a treasure chest full of gold, but probably more important in the long run.
Uh-huh, probably.
Yeah.
He talks about focusing on, he calls them lead measures. The actions you can control that directly influence your results. It's not just about wishing for success. It's about creating a system to get there.
He uses a weight loss analogy, right?
Yeah, he does.
Like if you want to lose weight, you don't just stare at the scale all day.
Yep.
You focus on those daily habits.
Steps, calorie intake, that kind of thing.
You build those consistent habits and the weight loss naturally follows.
Exactly.
So set clear goals and focus on the daily actions that will get you there.
I like how you put that.
What's next?
This one might surprise you. Step seven is all about the power of community.
Community.
He says that being part of a supportive community is one of the biggest predictors of coaching success.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that as being so crucial.
It makes sense though, right?
It does. We all thrive when we feel like we belong. Like we have people who understand our struggles and celebrate our wins.
He shares this story about Brendan Burchard. Early in his career, he created this free condo mastermind group.
Condo mastermind group.
It was just a casual way to connect with other creators, bounce ideas around, support each other.
It's like even informal communities can make a difference.
Huge a difference.
It reminds me of, have you ever heard of the Vienna Circle?
I don't think so.
This group of psychologists back in the early 1900s, they'd meet in these Viennese coffee houses, debate ideas, challenge each other's perspectives. It's amazing to think that even brilliant minds, they need that community interaction.
We all need it. That space to share ideas, talk about challenges, celebrate successes.
It keeps us motivated, inspired, accountable.
Totally.
Okay, so we've covered the first seven steps of our coaching treasure map. We defined our services, found our ideal clients, built a website, automated our outreach, created a marketing funnel and product ladder, set realistic goals, and embraced community. Phew.
That's a lot.
But it feels like we're building something really solid here.
We are. And we're not done yet. In the next part of our deep dive, we'll explore the eighth and final step, mastering the art of the client-coach relationship. That's where the real magic happens.
Ooh, can't wait. Stay tuned, everyone.
Welcome back We're diving right back into that eight-step system for building a thriving coaching business.
And this next step, step eight, I mean, it feels like the most important one.
It might be. It's all about mastering the client-coach relationship.
The human connection.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about frameworks and websites and all that stuff, but those are just tools. The real magic is in that connection between the coach and the client. It's about building trust, being empathetic, really wanting to help someone transform their life.
And he has this really interesting suggestion. He says coaches should make a top 10 list of things to never do in a coaching relationship.
Oh, I like that.
It's full of great advice, like never assume you know the client's problem and never break a client's trust.
It seems obvious, but it's easy to forget sometimes.
Right. We can get caught up in our own expertise.
Totally. We want to show off how much we know.
Yeah.
But we forget that it's really about the client.
It's about serving their needs.
Exactly. And he also warns against assuming the client understands all your coaching methods or jargon.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Like, we use all these terms and frameworks that might be totally new to someone just starting out with coaching.
Right. You got to be patient, clear, and willing to adjust your approach to meet the client where they're at.
So being adaptable is key. And speaking of key skills, he talks a lot about active listening, which I'll admit I struggle with sometimes. I love to talk.
I hear ya. It's a common challenge for a lot of coaches. Especially when we're passionate about our work, we get excited to share our knowledge.
Right.
But the author, he says he used to be the same way. Early in his career, he was more focused on giving advice than truly listening.
And what did he learn?
He realized that the most powerful coaching happens when you listen more than you lecture.
It makes sense. You can't really guide someone if you haven't truly heard where they're coming from.
He actually suggests a ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Like only 10 to 20% of coaching should be about giving information. The other 80 to 90% should be about building that connection, listening, supporting.
So it's about being present, empathetic, really invested in their success.
It's not just a program you hand them. You're walking alongside them on their journey.
He uses this great metaphor. He compares a coach to a guide helping a hero through a dangerous quest.
I like that. And sometimes the most important coaching happens outside of the formal sessions.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like a quick phone call when a client is feeling overwhelmed, or a heartfelt email offering encouragement, just being there when they need you.
It's those little things that build trust and strengthen the relationship.
Exactly. Now, before we move on, I want to touch on something the author brings up. The potential cost of building a successful coaching business.
Oh, yeah. That's important.
He dedicates a whole chapter to this, acknowledging that striving for a seven-figure income can have downsides.
We don't hear that side of the story very often. Everyone's always talking about the glamour, the hustle.
Right, but it's important to be realistic about the sacrifices involved.
And he even suggests that some people might not want to build a seven-figure business.
Wow.
He says they should really think about if the potential downsides align with their values and goals.
He's challenging that whole go big or go home mentality.
Totally.
He even shares his own experience. He says his drive to succeed wasn't always a choice. It was more like this deep need to achieve. And that can come at a cost.
To your relationships, your health.
Exactly.
He points out that money beyond a certain point doesn't necessarily make you happier.
You know, there are studies that show once a family reaches a certain income level, like around $250,000 to $275,000, more money doesn't really increase their happiness.
It's a good reminder to focus on the things that truly matter.
Family, health, passions.
He says success should be about more than just money.
It should be about fulfillment, strong relationships.
He even shares this really sad story about a coach who passed away from an overdose, highlighting the dangers of that hustle culture.
It's a powerful reminder that balance and self-care are essential.
Even when you're pursuing big goals.
Especially then.
So his message is clear. Don't chase wealth at the expense of your well-being.
Find a path that aligns with your values. A path that lets you live a balanced and meaningful life.
And speaking of valuable resources, he offers this coach pricing guide on his website.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And it's free.
Totally free.
What does it cover?
It gives you advice on how to figure out your worth and how to confidently price your coaching services.
Ooh, that would have been so helpful when I was starting out.
It walks you through all the factors to consider. Your experience, the value you provide, market demand.
It's great that he's offering it for free.
It shows he really wants to see other coaches succeed.
Yeah.
So as we move into the final part of our deep dives, I want to leave you with this question. What kind of impact could you make by sharing your knowledge and expertise? What unique gifts do you have that could help others overcome challenges, achieve their goals, live better lives?
This deep dive has shown us that building a coaching business is about more than just marketing and sales. It's about passion, sharing your wisdom, making a real difference.
Now that's a pretty amazing journey.
Absolutely. Stay tuned for the final part of our deep dive. We'll uncover even more insights, including a framework for building a seven-figure business without sacrificing your well-being.
All right, we're back for the final part of our coaching deep dive. We've covered so much ground already, you know, crafting those compelling offers, finding the right clients, building our online presence, and really nurturing those client relationships. But there's one more piece of the puzzle we got to talk about.
Yeah, the final piece, building a seven-figure coaching business.
Okay, here we go.
But, you know, the author's really clear about something. This isn't about getting rich just for the sake of it.
Right.
It's about building a business that, you know, reflects your values, fuels your passion, a business that lets you make a real impact on the world.
I like that because honestly, the idea of a seven-figure business is pretty tempting.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so easy to get caught up in that and lose sight of what really matters.
Your personal life, your relationships, your well-being.
He wants us to like shift our thinking to see financial success as a result of creating something meaningful.
So focus on serving your clients, delivering real value, making a difference.
And the money will follow.
I love that. But does he give us any like practical tips for hitting that seven-figure mark?
Who does? He has this framework for reverse engineering a seven-figure income.
Okay, tell me more.
It starts with really understanding your ideal client and their needs. And then you create a, you know, a premium coaching package, something that addresses those needs in a really powerful way.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing?
No, it's tailored to a high-value client.
And I'm guessing it also involves like positioning yourself as a real expert in your field.
Absolutely. You got to showcase your skills, your experience, your results, you know, to justify that higher investment from clients.
So maybe stepping outside your comfort zone a bit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But he also emphasizes authenticity. You got to stay true to yourself. Don't try to be someone you're not.
That's so true. Clients can spot a fake a mile away. The best coaches, they're the ones who are genuine, relatable, passionate.
Yeah, that passion is contagious. It attracts the right clients.
The ones who are ready to go on that journey with you.
And, you know, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to circle back to one of the biggest takeaways from this whole masterclass.
What's that?
You don't need a huge audience to build a successful coaching business.
That's so encouraging. It's easy to get caught up in comparing yourself to those coaches with millions of followers.
Right.
But you can do it with a small, engaged audience.
It all comes down to identifying your expertise, creating those irresistible offers, and connecting with the right people.
And remember, success in coaching isn't just about the money. It's about making a difference, empowering others, leaving a positive impact.
So as you start this journey, embrace your passion, stay true to yourself, and never underestimate the impact you can make.
What unique gifts are you ready to share with the world? That's all for this deep dive, folks. Thanks for joining us.